from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo stresses that the teaching profession cannot be replaced by a machine. President Joko Widodo reviews electricity installation in Bogor due to high costs. Sukabumi Airport construction is to begin in 2019. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo said the teaching profession remains a noble profession and cannot be replaced by even the most sophisticated machines. The president stated this at the Pakansari Stadium Cibinong in Bogor, West Java on Saturday, December 1st, in front of around 45,000 members of the Republic of Indonesia Teachers Association, who celebrated its 73rd anniversary and the National Teachers' Day. Antara News Agency reported the president acknowledged the world today is changing very quickly. Digitalization of education has brought about major changes in the world of education. Therefore, President Joko Widodo requested that the teachers be alerted to the rise of digital media that emerged, especially in the past 4 years. The government has given a big priority to the construction of physical infrastructure. However, the budget for education takes 20% of the annual state revenue and expenditure budget as mandated by law. Starting in 2019, the government will shift development strategies and excellent programs from infrastructure development programs to large-scale programs in strengthening human resources. When human resource development is the top priority, the teacher's role will be increasingly central, important, and strategic. President Joko Widodo has targeted 100,000 homes in West Java province to have electricity connected at the end of 2018. This was conveyed when he reviewed the electricity installation in Bantarjati Village, Bogor Utara Subdistrict, Bogor City yesterday. According to the president, the high cost of installing home electricity is still an obstacle for the lower class community. Therefore, the government through the National Electricity Company provides free installation facilities for the poor.
Yang pertama, ada yang dulu memang belum ada listriknya.
The first is that there is no electricity yet. Some have electricity but connect with neighbors or with parents. Now we connect independently. It's cheaper than the data we receive. Usually per month, it's 50,000 or 60,000 rupiah. After being independent like this, the payment is less than 25,000 to 30,000 rupiah. With more connection, you can have a TV, iron, or rice cooker. This means that if in West Java province there are still so many without electricity, so we'll see in other provinces, because the connection fee is indeed not cheap. Meanwhile, regarding the target of 35,000 megawatt electricity development, President Joko Widodo said that the program was still ongoing. Although there is a possibility of failing to reach the target of 35,000. The president said that the current achievement should be appreciated.
Tapi meskipun katakanlah nanti,
but even though let's say that later 20,000 are realized, it is still good. The first 5 years are usually only 3,000 to 3,500. This time it can be up to 18,000 or 20,000 or even 25,000 megawatt. How many times it is compared to previously? The president further stated that the construction of the 35,000 megawatt electricity project was adjusted to industrial growth. The government considers that there is a balance between the burden borne by the state electricity companies and the existing needs. Sukabumi Airport in West Java will be built in early 2019, a local official said on Sunday. After officially opening the Bogor Ciawi Sukabumi or Bocimi Toll Road Section 1 on Saturday, President Joko Widodo stated that the construction of Sukabumi Airport will be carried out in 2019, and this is good news for all people in Sukabumi District. Sukabumi Deputy Head of Administration Ajo Sarjono said the construction of the airport will support the development in Sukabumi District in the transportation sector, especially now that the district administration is intensifying the promotion of Ciletuh Pelabuhan Ratu Geopark Tourist Destination. The airport is expected to help increase the number of domestic and foreign tourists visit as there will be access to reach the district. Ajo said the airport will strengthen connectivity in Sukabumi district with other areas. He added people in Sukabumi should be ready to welcome this development because the impact is very positive and of course it should be used as maximum as possible to improve the local economy and people's welfare. Indonesian Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto said the government will encourage the empowerment of millennial generation human resources, which were considered very important in implementing Industry 4.0. Speaking at the Creative Industry Movement in Denpasar, Bali on Saturday, December the 1st, the minister stated the millennial generation plays an important role in Industry 4.0, especially since Indonesia will also enjoy a demographic bonus period until 2030. This means that as many as 130 million productive age people can take new opportunities to develop business in the digital era. In a press release received by Antara in Jakarta on Saturday, the minister said to prepare the millennial generation of Indonesia that is able to face the era of Industry 4.0, the Ministry of Industry has facilitated through several incubators owned to grow creative industry players. Because creative industry sectors are able to make a significant contribution to the national economy. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Ministry of Industry promotes Indonesian fashion products at the launch of the International Muslim Fashion Festival in an international fashion show, La Mode sur la Seine à Paris. The Muslim Fashion Exhibition itself will be held in 2019. Director General of Small and Medium Industries of the Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawa Ningsi in Bali in a written statement received by Antara in Jakarta yesterday said La Mode sur la Seine à Paris was potential since it was attended by 400 participants from many countries including Italy, Germany, Taiwan, Korea and the United States, Britain and Russia. Thus, the target to be achieved is to increase the export value of Indonesian fashion products, especially Muslim fashion, in the European and countries market of the Islamic Cooperation Organization. Gati Wibawa Ningsi explained La Mode sur la Seine à Paris is held by the Indonesian Fashion Chamber, which is a designer organization and fashion businessman with the largest number of members from various regions in Indonesia, including accommodating designers who are ready to explore the global market. Three Saudi companies that have been loyal to their Indonesian business partners have won Prima Duta Award from the Indonesian Ministry of Trade on the last day of the 2018 Made in Indonesia Expo held in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia yesterday. Director General of National Export Development at the Indonesian Ministry of Trade, Arlinda, stated Prima Duta is the highest award from the Indonesian government to foreign companies for being loyal in buying and developing imported products from Indonesia. Therefore, these foreign companies have contributed to increasing Indonesia's trading volume. According to her, the award is a form of good trust and commitment between Saudi Arabian businessmen and their Indonesian partners. Arlinda hoped Indonesian business commitment can spread throughout Saudi Arabia, which in turn will increase trade cooperation between the two countries. Last item, the Indonesian basketball national team closed the Eastern Region pre-qualification of the International Basketball Federation Asian Cup FIBA 2021 with a 71-65 victory over host Thailand in a match held at Stadium 29 Thailand on Saturday. These results do not affect Indonesia, which has already qualified for the Asian Cup qualification in 2021 as one of the four best Eastern pre-qualification areas. After being confirmed to qualify, which is planned to be held this year, the Indonesian national team still has a tough task because it is targeted to qualify for the 2021 Asian Cup finals to perform at the World Cup in 2023. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo stresses that the teaching profession cannot be replaced by machine. Due to high cost, President reviews electricity installation in Bogor. Sukabumi Airport construction is to begin in 2019. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on 2018 is Jawa Traditional Sport Week. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia that you can listen to via shortwave on 3325 kHz streaming at www.voinews.id or RRI Play application on your smartphone. The traditional sport weeks in East Java in 2018 was held in the city of Madiun, East Java and took place from November the 26th to 28th. The event, organized by the East Java Youth and Sports Agency, was attended by all districts and cities in the local province. East Java Youth and Sport Agency head Supratomo said the traditional sport weekend activity was an effort in preserving and developing traditional sports, which are the nation's cultural heritage. It is also meant to create healthy living conditions by increasing physical fitness. In addition, traditional sports also stimulate children to actively move so that the body becomes healthy. According to Supratomo, in today's digital era, kids like to play gadgets, so they are less mobile. If these traditional sports are developed, they will be healthier and productivity will increase. There are five traditional sports contested, namely Hadang Dagongan for women, Egrang, Terompah Panjang, and Sumpitan for men. The number of participants reached around 407 people from 38 representatives of cities or regencies in the East Java region. Participants are not only students but also the general public, non-members of the police or military with an age range of 17 to 40 years. Mayor of Madiun, Sugeng Rismianto, welcomed the event, which was first held in the city of Madiun. The city of Madiun fully supports these positive activities, both in terms of facilities and budget. Well, that was My Indonesia Today on 2018 East Java Traditional Sports Weeks. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We start from an event on December 2, 1949, International Day for the Abolition of Slavery. The International Day for the Abolition of Slavery, December 2, marks the date of the adoption by the General Assembly of the United Nations Convention for the Suppression of the Traffic in Persons and of the Exploitation of the Prostitution of Others of December 2, 1949. The focus of this day is on eradicating contemporary forms of slavery, such as trafficking in persons, sexual exploitation, the worst forms of child labor, forced marriage, and the forced recruitment of children for use in armed conflict. According to the International Labour Organization, ILO, there are currently an estimated 21 million forced labour victims worldwide, creating $150 billion in illegal profits in the private economy each year. ILO has adopted a new legally binding protocol designed to strengthen global effort to eliminate forced labour, which is set to enter into force in November 2016. On December 2, 1971, the United Arab Emirates is established. United Arab Emirates is a union state of seven emirates that are rich in petroleum. The seven emirates are, among others, Abu Dhabi, Ajman, Dubai, Fujairah, Ras Al Khaimah, Sharjah, and Al Qawain. The states, or better known as emirate, along the Persian Gulf coast provide the right of defense and foreign affairs to the British Empire in the 19th century. On December 2, 1971, six of these states, namely Abu Dhabi, Ajman, Fujairah, Sharjah, Dubai, and Al Qawain, joined forces to establish the United Arab Emirates. In 1972, Ras Al Khaimah then followed to join it. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event on December 2, 1988. Benazir Bhutto was sworn in as Prime Minister of Pakistan. Benazir Bhutto was the first woman to lead a Muslim state in the post-colonial era. Bhutto was elected as Prime Minister of Pakistan on December 2, 1988, but 20 months later, she was overthrown by a military-backed Pakistani president, Ghulam Ishaq Khan, who controversially used the Eighth Amendment to dissolve parliament and force an election. Bhutto was re-elected in 1993, but dismissed 3 years later amid various corruption scandals by the incumbent president at that time, Farooq Laikari. Bhutto was killed on December 27, 2007, when she had just left the Likud National Park in Rawalpindi in the framework of the general election campaign in early 2008. Listener, that was Today in History. See you tomorrow with other historical events both in the country and the world.
Highlight of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with weekly item Spotlight. This week it's on Indonesia shares experience in handling terrorism. Indonesian National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian attended a police specialist conference held by the Singapore Police Force, or SPF, from November the 28th to 30th. The National Police welcomed the event as a joint effort to combat terrorism. In fact, it is proposed to be done routinely as a means of exchanging information and experience, especially in terms of counter-terrorism. General Tito, through his written statement on Wednesday, said that the terrorism is a form of transnational crime, so that the need for international cooperation in counter-terrorism must be increased. Therefore, its mitigation requires good cooperation from all cross-border security forces. In addition, General Tito also had a bilateral meeting with Amrin Amin, the senior parliamentary secretary, Ministry of Home Affairs and Ministry of Health Singapore, to strengthen the cooperation that has been built between the National Police and the SPF. Considering the experience and success of the Indonesian National Police in counterterrorism, Amrin stressed the need for the SPF to study with the National Police in the prevention and handling of terrorism. He added that the invitation to the National Police Chief was a form of appreciation for the success and important role of the Indonesian police in eradicating global terrorism. According to him, this activity has an important meaning for improving the capacity of personnel involved in handling specific cases such as terrorism, drugs, and human trafficking. So, the synergy and work of the police to police is very important in order to overcome crimes involving several countries. The conference was attended by around 100 prominent police practitioners and academics from various countries to discuss a number of information regarding the eradication of terrorism, efforts to realize public security, and increase the capacity of institution and police personnel. The conference was also attended by representatives of special forces from various countries involved in handling terrorism, including the German Federal Police Bundespolizei, Australia Federal Police, Antwerp Police Department, Royal Brunei Police Force, also Royal Canadian Mounted Police Attaché, Hong Kong Police Force, Alameda Country USC Sheriff Office, Interpol, Europol, and Indonesian National Police Terrorism Detachment 88. Well, that was Spotlight of this week over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now to bring you news in brief. President Joko Widodo said the teaching profession remains a noble profession and cannot be replaced by even the most sophisticated machines. President Joko Widodo has targeted 100,000 homes in West Java province to have electricity connected at the end of 2018. Sukabumi Airport in West Java will be built in early 2019. Indonesian Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto said the government encourages the empowerment of millennial generation human resources, which are considered very important in implementing Industry 4.0. The Indonesian Ministry of Industry promotes Indonesian fashion products at the launch of the International Muslim Fashion Festival in an international fashion show, La Mode sur la Seine à Paris. Three Saudi companies that have been loyal to their Indonesian business partners have won Prima Duta Awards from the Indonesian Ministry of Trade on the last day of the 2018 Made in Indonesia Expo held in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia yesterday. The Indonesian basketball national team closed the Eastern Region pre-qualification of the International Basketball Federation Asian Cup 2021 with 71-65 victory over host Thailand in a match held at Stadium 29 Thailand on Saturday. This result do not affect Indonesia, which has already qualified for the Asian Cup qualification in 2021 as one of the four best Eastern pre-qualification areas. That was the news in brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is Area Reward Service with Indonesian Wonder, a special program featuring Indonesian tourism. Today, I'll invite you to North Sulawesi to enjoy the beauty of Lihaga Island in North Minahasa. So stay tuned in to Area Reward Service Voice of Indonesia on frequency 3325 kHz or at www.voinews.id or through the RRI Play application. North Sulawesi is indeed known as a maritime paradise, and Lihaga Island is one of the tourist attractions in North Minahasa, which unfortunately is not often visited by tourists. Administratively, the island, which has an area of approximately 8 hectares, is located in Likupang Sub-District, North Minahasa Regency. To reach Likupang or Serai Port from Manado City takes about 90 minutes by car. After arriving at Likupang, you will still have to take another trip for about 40 minutes using a local fishing boat that is usually used to bring tourists to the island of Lihaga at a fee of around 800,000 rupiah for 20 passengers. To reach Lihaga Island, it takes a rather long time, but you don't have to worry because the journey will not be in vain. When you arrive on the uninhabited island of Lihaga, you will be greeted by a stretch of fine white sand surrounded by blue ocean. Before arriving on the island of Lihaga, you will be treated to a wonderful view of a small island surrounded by white sand and so beautiful water gradations. Before going down on the island of Lihaga, you can negotiate with the boat owner to circle Lihaga Island first. You will see the other side of Lihaga Island. The seaside is dominated by a stretch of coral and white sand with a beautiful view, an enchanting landscape that is rarely found in other tourist attractions. Some say the underwater scenery of Lihaga Island is as beautiful as the Bunaken Marine Park, which is also located in the famous North Sulawesi province. On Lihaga Island, you can enjoy underwater views by snorkeling. Although the island is not inhabited, there is no need to worry because there are facilities such as toilets and changing rooms available on the island. You can even stay on the island free of charge, but of course, you have to bring your own equipment such as tents and cooking utensils because there are no restaurant or convenience stores that sell food on the island of Lihaga. Due to its amazing natural beauty, Lihaga Island has also become one of the photographer's favorite location. Therefore, don't be surprised when you are on the island, there are many photography lovers walking around looking for a spot to capture the beauty of this uninhabited island. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Lihaga Island, an interesting tourist spot in North Minahasa or North Sulawesi. Tomorrow we will meet again with other interesting topics.
Still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, technology and environment, also lifestyle. This edition presents the topic of Eco Fashion Week Indonesia. Stay tuned in to Voice of Indonesia through streaming audio at www.voinews.id or the RRI Play application. For For the first time, Eco Fashion Week Indonesia will be held in Indonesia from November the 13th to December the 2nd, 2018 at the Stovia Building, Jakarta. This event is organized by the Directorate General for the Development of Disadvantaged Areas, the Ministry of Villages, Development of Disadvantaged Areas and Transmigration in collaboration with renowned Indonesian designers. Director General of the Ministry, Samsul Widodo, through a press release received by Antara in Jakarta some time ago, stated that this is a visualization of an environmentally friendly fashion concept by elevating Indonesian native culture in textile manufacturing. According to Samsul, the Eco Fashion Week Indonesia is held to enrich community fashion references with ethnical works made directly by people in disadvantaged areas such as Alor Thai weaving and Roten Daur Thai weaving. This event is a manifestation of the development approach in underdeveloped regions as a whole, namely touching the aspects of art and culture for development. Appreciation of local art and culture from disadvantaged areas will make weavers feel their work is appreciated and valued very well. It will also be a motivation to continue to preserve local culture through the weaving. A total of 30 national and international designers involved will apply renewable concepts by upcycling, recycling, or using organic and natural ingredients that leave no carbon footprint. Meanwhile, Merdisi Hombing explained, Eco Fashion Week Indonesia is a milestone in the long journey that Indonesia needs to take in implementing the slow fashion concept. The concept displays environmentally friendly artwork. The utilization of local potential combined with natural coloring that is environmentally friendly is believed to be able to produce high artistic value. According to him, the making of traditional fabrics and clothing that are passed down from generation to generation will be combined with natural coloring techniques. The technique is carried out by utilizing local raw materials such as the recycling of seaweed waste in Rote Ika textile, natural dyes, and recycling of squid waste and sea cucumber into natural alor textile dyes. Merdi added that the application of the slow fashion concept is also an effort to preserve the cultural heritage of Indonesian textiles and open employment opportunities in areas that will ultimately improve the regional economy. He believes Eco Fashion Week Indonesia will open the eyes of the people of Indonesia and the world to the riches of Indonesian culture and the enormous potential to become a country with the largest low fashion industry in the world. In addition, Eco Fashion Week Indonesia also aims to enrich the public fashion reference through ethical works made directly by people in disadvantaged areas such as Alor Ikat weaving and Roten Daur Thai weaving. Eco Fashion Week Indonesia is the first and largest fashion movement in Indonesia held to celebrate the grace of earth and humans and to protect and save the earth. Eco Fashion Week Indonesia was held for the first time in 2018. The movement was founded by three founders, namely Merdisi Hombing, Mira Surario, and Rita M. Darwis. Well, that was Miss Leni today. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Leni on Indonesia.
Hello, listeners. Wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. We would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Sami Masad in Egypt. In his email, Mr. Sami Masad expressed his condolences on Palu, Donggala, and Sigi, which were stricken by earthquake, and he prayed God saves Indonesia and the Indonesian people. Hello, Mr. Sami Masad. Thank you very much for your attention on our country, which is affected by disasters. It is because Indonesia is located on the Ring of Fire. The Ring of Fire is a major area in the basin of the Pacific Ocean, where many earthquakes and volcanic eruptions occur. Hopefully, all disasters will go away from the regions which are affected by the disasters, and those regions are back to be normal like usual. As information, you can follow our current news about our country through our website www.voanews.id. Well, Mr. Sami Masad, please keep listening to our broadcast and please don't forget to send your report.
Rasakan tajam menusuk tak beralasan. Kita sudah dingin hati. Dulu kita pernah saling memahami, segan merasa telah menyakiti. Kita terlalu perasa. Setiap katamu cermin. Oh, satu jadikan
listener, now we will reply an email from Akira Takei in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese program through shortwave on frequency of 3325 kHz at 21:25 hours to 21:45 hours local time on October 7, 2018. And the SINPO was 33333 to 32332. He wrote that there was intensely interference from Pyongyang Broadcasting. He also complained due to interference and noise, he could not hear accurately the broadcast contents. Hello, Mr. Akira Takei, thank you very much for your reception report on our broadcast. We are really sorry for your inconvenience, and we suggest you to monitor our broadcast through website www.voynews.id or through RRI Play mobile application from your smartphone. About your complaint, we will deliver it to our technical division. And your email will be replied by our Japanese section as well. Mr. Akira, please keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your report. And special for you, we will play a beautiful song.
Tersiarkan kisah lelaki tangguh bagai satria, namun saat ia tertati takluk oleh dunia. Cerminan sisi terbaikmu, lindungi hatinya sekalipun di dalam amarah. Tajam rasa
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we will continue to reply an email from Peter Goldfinch in Australia. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through frequency of 3325 kHz on Sunday, the 14th of October 2018, from 1340 hours to 1400 hours UTC. In his email, Mr. Peter Goldfinch said that he hopes to be able to tune in our full hour broadcast in near future and learn about the customs and culture of the people of Indonesia. He must also let us know that he found our website excellent and easy to navigate. He also said that he enjoyed listening to our listeners' mailbag program. Hello, Mr. Peter Goldfinch. Thank you for joining our broadcast, and we hope you can monitor our broadcast every day. If you want to learn about Indonesian customs and cultures, you can follow our segment Indonesian Wonder. This segment is broadcast every day, telling about Indonesian cultures, culinary customs and arts. So we'll be able to know more about our country through this segment. Our radio also presents Indonesian popular songs, keroncong songs, traditional songs and also regional songs. And hopefully by listening to our radio, you work more passionately. Therefore, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Well, Mr. Peter Goldfinch, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your reception report. Thank you.
Ibu, ibu, ibu.
Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email from Hidehiko Komachi in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through shortwave on frequency of 3325 kHz at 1310 hours to 1330 hours UTC on October 12, 2018. And the SIN code was 33333. In his email, Mr. Hidehiko Komachi said that he was very happy to have a chance to receive our broadcast today. He will try to hear our radio as soon as he can. Hello, Mr. Hidehiko Komachi. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. Your SINPO is quite good. It means that you can hear our broadcast clearly. Besides English, we also broadcast in other languages, including Japanese. And we hope you always monitor our broadcast every day. And please don't forget to send your reception report of our broadcast. Listener, wherever you are, we inform you that we have a new program on RRI Net. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 2000 hours to 2030 hours West Indonesia time or 1300 hours to 1330 hours UTC. This program enables you not only listen but also watch our program just like watching TV. And this is how to access VOI English News Service via RRI Play. First, download RRI Play mobile application from Google Play and then open RRI Play application. Then choose RRI Net. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id, voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or you can also follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Ku jalani setiap hariku bersamamu, oh kasihku, oh pujaanku, tetaplah selalu ada di hatiku.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.